for today is to try to go through the pshat of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. The pshat, going through the story of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Clearly the Haggadah that we have, although it went through some historical developments throughout history, that the whole Haggadah is there in order so that you can mekayim properly the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So I feel that going through the pshat of the Haggadah and understanding maybe some of the messages in the pshat of the Haggadah is actually the greatest fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Another side benefit, which is also important, is that as you're preparing for Vortlach, and as you're preparing Vorts on the Haggadah to say over at your table, very often it's pshat questions and pshat issues that come up. It's sometimes a much more midrashic and much more drishy type of answer, but it's important to understand like what are the pshat questions, pshat issues with regard to every single keta in Magid. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to be doing almost all of the talking, but even though that's not the way a Seder should be run, the way a Seder should be run is much more interactive, and it's up to each Baal Haggadah, it's up to each Baal HaSeder to figure out a way, which is really, you know, sometimes very, very tough, because most fathers are not mechanchim. Although most fathers are, of course, mechanchim. All fathers are mechanchim. All fathers have a din of being mechanich. The mitzvah of chinuch is on the parents. So every parent can be a mechanich, but it's up to every parent to make it both fun, exciting, interactive, thought-provoking. All of these things are things that a Baal HaSeder has to do before the Seder, in order so that the Seder will be fun and exciting for everyone, and also an extremely important learning experience. One of the Haggadahs that I bought, now I'm going to show you Haggadahs now. This is a little bit of a show and tell. One of the Haggadahs that I bought, one of the Haggadahs that I bought a few years ago was a Haggadah by Shai Piron. What he did was, is he made questions and cute things on the Haggadah, and after every piece in the Maggid, it would have like, these are questions that are matin for, that are appropriate for like third graders. And has a list of cute questions. And then he has some games at the end of the Haggadah that you'd pull out with cards and bingos. And there were a whole bunch of years where I had Bachrin at my Seder. Started already about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, even when I was in the Kollel, and we had, let's say, 2-3 Bachrim at the Seder, and in the first couple of years, all I did was ask them to be the Egyptians, and I had them, like, barking orders, and ask, we'll go through that soon, but another thing that I asked them to do, this was a few years ago, was each one had to come up with something fun and a game that they had to do. So one of them came up with, you know, something that you stick to your head and everybody has to guess, the guy has to guess what it is, and someone did a charades, and someone did a, in other words, these are things that are, you have to think for yourself how to make it exciting and fun for your children so that it's a very, very great learning and enjoyable experience. Now, a couple of the svarim that I think are extremely important. One is a sefer. This is one of my favorite svarim that I own. It is a sefer on Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It's not on the order of the Haggadah Bichlal. It's called Matamei HaShulchan. And what it is based on the Midrashim, all of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. All of Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim, from the Parech, from the Avodah, to the actual Yetziah, each Makkah described in depth, the Midik, one particular aspect we'll actually do during the Maggid itself. This is a really, it's a fantastic, fantastic read. When would one learn such a Sefer? So I would learn the Sefer before Pesach, because I want to know as much as I can about the Shibud Mitzrayim and about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this is a Sefer that you can also learn on the night of the Seder, after the Seder is over. You can learn it on Pesach itself. Another Sefer that I'm also showing and telling is a Sefer called, two Sfarim, called Ki Yishalcha Bincha. They're both called Ki Yishalcha Bincha. And what it is basically the same idea, which is, there's a question, and then all of the answers on that question. You know, a lot of times when you read a vort, so for example, you'll have halach ma'anya. Why is halach ma'anya in Aramaic as opposed to Hebrew like the rest of the Haggadah? So you'll read one vort, that'll be very, very nice. But you know what you want, now that you have that question, you want to know, what are the other answers to that question? So if you read one Haggadah, it only said his answer to that question. But you want a place where it collates all the answers to that question. There's a question that piqued your curiosity. This is the Sefer. This is a Sefer that has every question, basically, almost every question, and then the multiple answers to that question. This one is tremendous. This one has so much. It's a little bit too much already. But this is, can only work backwards. You don't go like, I'm going to learn this Haggadah now. No. You want to know why Halacha Ma'anya is in Aramaic? I want to know all the different answers to that question? So then you look it up, it's like a reference Sefer. The last Haggadah that I'd like to show you, which is both a show and tell and a way of making the Haggadah real, is a Haggadah Shal Pesach of Mishpachat Reich. Another Shal Pesach of Mishpachat Reich, which I made about 3 years ago. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, my father was coming for Pesach. We wanted to make one for the family. What I did in this Haggadah is, besides the Haggadah having pictures throughout with my children, with Yachatz, I have some of the kids pulling the middle child, trying to pull the middle child apart. That's for Yachatz. And for the Chamisha Zakenim, I have five daughters who are all with beards and long hair and kippot and like all like going like I'm trying to learn after the Chayv Zakenim. One of the things that made this very enjoyable is that everybody at the table got one of these Haggadahs. I tried to put a lot of text on the page because I like not turning the page so much during the Seder. I think it's important also to see the structure, as we'll soon see on the Maggid. And when they see their own pictures in the Haggadah, that's something that they feel much more connected to. And one of the things that I also did was I really played with the text. Not altering the text whatsoever, but in the presentation of the text, I feel that this is the way the text should be in the Haggadah, at least on a page. And it was very, very enjoyable. In the Nirtza, making sure that every song is on its particular page, hollow pictures and everything, and then at the end of the night, obviously, all the kids are sleeping and falling asleep. We have a Haggadah presentation. Anyway, this was in order to make the Maggid more real. Now, let's get to our Maggid. If you take a look at the pages that I have in front of you, this is just Maggid. Maggid from start to finish. Take a look. Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya starts, goes all the way down on page 1 to Vihisha Amda. On the second page, page 2, we have Tseyu Lamad, where the Haggadah is just talking about Psukim and Drashos. That's on all page 2 is about that. Page 3 is Eser Makos, the three drushos about how many makos there were in Kriyas Yamsuf, and then the song Dayenu. And on page 4, we have Rabban Gamliel, Halel, and the bracha that concludes Maggid. At a glance, that's all of Maggid. I know, the Haggadah that you have, it's like 50 pages, 60 pages. It's like those old machzorim that have all those little print things that that nobody says, and like you have to keep on flipping through. The Haggadah is also, you got all the perishim on the bottom. Here, this is the Maggid. This is all of Maggid. I did not erase one word of Maggid. These are the four pages of Maggid. Okay. What I'd like to do is to begin. We're going to not begin with the Maggid itself. Just these are things that, starting from the beginning of my Seder, these are the things that I say over. There are certain areas. Two things. There are certain areas where, for my family, which is a little bit younger than you guys, so then maybe there are certain things that maybe should be delved more deeply into, but I don't. There are certain things that I'm going to quote this morning that are in depth and aren't necessarily said at my Seder, but I feel that it's important that you hear it also. So what we're not doing is not just necessarily, we're not really doing a mock Seder of my own. What we're really doing is I'm trying to include everything that I say during my Seder. I'm adding some more things. This is in order so that you know really what this Leil HaSeder is all about. Okay, so we sing the Simanei HaSeder, Kadesh Urchatz, that's the Minag Am Yisrael. It's a very, very beautiful idea by the Maharal that this night had a Seder. This night had an order. All of Yetzias Mitzrayim had some type of plan in order so that Hashem, when Hashem took Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, there was an idea. There was an idea here. In other words, it isn't just Teva that has a Seder. It isn't just nature that has a Seder. But it also, even the Nisim Me'ala Teva, even the supernatural occurrences during the Leil HaSeder, during the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and during the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything has an order. That's why the night is really called a Seder. Okay, setting up the Ka'ara. The Ka'ara is very, very important. The Ka'ara should be in front of every Baal Bayis on the table, every Bar Chiyuva. Everyone should have three matzos in front of them. There's a very important halacha that is a chumrah. but a good chumrah. Maker adin, maybe not, maybe you don't need to, but it's a good chumrah that you need to own your matzos, which means that the Baal HaSeder has to be makne to you the matzos. If you go and buy the matzos, so you can say, these are mine, and the matzah shel mitzvah is something that you should own. If your parents are going to look at you like you're a little bit nuts or whatever, don't do it. Certainly don't do it during Leil HaSeder at all. The matzos should be there. The three matzos should be there. These are the matzos that you're going to be using during the Seder itself. Other things that besides the... you have to go through the Ka'ara, of course. The Zeroa is there for the Korban Pesach. The Beitza is there for the Korban Chagiga. The Maror is for the Mitzvah of Maror. Charoses is the dipper of the evening. It's a Zecher Letit for the mortar, and it's also something that's supposed to take out the sting of the maror. Karpas is there as the appetizer, and the chazeres is there for also some type of the maror. During the Seder, most Balei HaSeder wear kittels. How many people here, the Baal HaSeder wears a kittel? Almost everyone. What is the reason for a kittel? Mm-hmm. So the Netziv says that the reason for the kittel is because that was a very, very chashuva clothing. And Korban Pesach is Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu, it's some type of very, very important meal. It's a Korban, and therefore one should eat with clothing and wear clothing of nobility when he is eating the Korban Pesach. And linen, white linen clothing, is something that is very, very noble. That's why Paro had Yosef wear by Elvesha, so big day. Sheish, what sheish? Linen. And that's why the white linen is used for that. The Rav had a different pshat, and he says it's all because of a shinui. We're just doing crazy things and weird things this evening, and that's why it's only the Baal HaSeder, and maybe not other men. Other men sometimes do wear it. Anyway, these are the different pshatim about kittel. Kadesh. It's important. I'm also going to be connecting a lot of different halachic inyanim throughout the Seder now. Kadesh. Like, for example, I just want to, when I do the Seder, so what I did was also to try to also make it fun, that before every simon we would sing the song again of Kadesh, and we would stop exactly where we're up to. So here we would start again, Kadesh, and then we would go into Kadesh. There are different kavanos that one has to have during Kadesh. First, it's the mitzvah of Kiddush on Yontif. Number two, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is something that you're supposed to be mechavin for, the first of the four cups. And maybe you should have kavana specifically only for the first cup of wine that you're going to drink. You should have kavana that the Bari Pri HaGafen is going to be poter, other drinks. You are allowed to drink during Magid. This is extremely important. You're allowed to drink water for sure. You might even be able to have beverages during Magid, as long as they're there on the table when you were trying to poter them. You should have water on the table. You're allowed to drink water through Magid. Especially for somebody who drinks wine and who drinks kol hakos, and it's usually on an empty stomach, like we talked about. So therefore, one should have in mind to be poter the other mashkin. The shechianu that you make should also have kavana. You should also have kavana besides for the yantiv, which is the ikar kavana of shechianu. You should have kavana for the other mitzvos halayla, i.e., dalet kosos, matzah, maror, sibri tzias mitzrayim, maybe even halal. That's what you should have kavana for during the Shechianu. There are different minhagim about whether everyone has kiddush together with, everyone says the kiddush together with the balabayis, or does everyone just be yotze with the person who's leading the Seder. My minhag was, our minhag was in our house, that the balabayis is the one who has who makes the kiddush. Everyone should be holding their full cup of wine during the kiddush for this. One should use... we use wine specifically as opposed to grape juice. You're supposed to have wine, not grape juice. This is as opposed to everywhere else, almost every other time in Kolot Arkula where you're allowed to use grape juice as opposed to wine. The two exceptions are the Sudas Purim, where Lifsumek just can't be done with grape juice. Mm-hmm. And also tonight is also Yayin L'Cherus. The Cherus is also the little bit of feeling of Cherus that wine gives you. There are definitely poskim who say that grape juice is okay. And therefore, certainly, if anybody else at the Seder is using grape juice, one should not say a word, and you should use wine. Red wine is preferred, but if you don't like red wine, you like wine, it's better, it's fine. Heseba for the men at the table. If women want to do Heseba Seder, usually the minhag is not to, but men do Heseba. What is Heseba? We'll talk about that in a second. Other people pour the cup of wine. That's supposed to be Derech Herus. Now, the kos itself, just good. This is not something that obviously you talk about during the Seder itself. This is something that I want to stress. This is important. The kos itself, like I said, since there's a lechatchila kol kos, should make sure that the kos only carries the minimum shear. What is the minimum shear? There's a machlokas between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish about shiurim. For the first cup of wine, you should use a little bit of a bigger cup because we're machmir like the Chazon Ish because it's a din d'oraisa. For the second, third, and fourth cup, those are only dinim d'rabbanan. Kiddush for yontiv, there's a suffix whether it's d'oraisa. The other three cups are clearly only d'rabbanan arba kosos. Therefore, you can use the lesser shear. So you're actually allowed to switch cups, pull the old switcheroo, and you're allowed to use another kos and a smaller kos. For the exact volumes, I don't have them right now. These are things that you can measure before the Seder. None of this should be done during the Seder. None of the halachos. You shouldn't be pulling out your matzah charts to see how big the matzah should be that you're eating. You shouldn't be thinking about all the different shirim and how to be mekayim that. That's not what cheiros is. You should be doing the night. The mitzvos halayla have to be done, and they have to be done properly. But you don't start harping on the pratim. I saw a Haggadah once. It was a Haggadah with all the pisukim of the Mishnah Berurah, and in the beginning it says, I don't understand, how can a person feel cheiros? How can a person feel cheiros tonight when a person has so many mitzvos, so many details, you have to know so many pirtei halacha? Where's the cheiros? So he writes, that's the cheiros. That's the cheiros. The cheiros ain lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah, a person who delves deeply into all the details of the halachos, that's the ikar cheiros. I almost ripped the pages from the Sefer that I was reading. I was I don't want to say disgusted, because that's really too strong of a word, but it's very, very close. I was appalled by such a pshat. That is clearly not true, not the pshat. That is not what Ben Chorin El Mishal Sibat Torah is about. You should be thinking about the Torah of the evening. The Torah of the evening is not to be hyper about all the different shiurim. But you have to know the shiurim. It doesn't mean drink as much wine as you want. The coast could be whatever size you want. It doesn't matter how much matzah you have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmana Libabai. That's not the idea. So you have to know the shiurim beforehand. I don't have the numbers right here. We'll have that in Mitzvah Shem sometime before Pesach. I'll tell you the exact numbers. So what you have to do is measure the cups. And in order to make sure that you have enough for the coast. It's just an attitude of the evening. The attitude of the evening is not on the details of the halacha. You have to know the details of the halacha. But the real mitzvahs halayla, you have to be mekayim the mitzvahs and be mekayim the mitzvahs b'simcha. Okay, we're up to Orchatz. Kadesh Orchatz. What did we do during Orchatz? We wash without a bracha. Everyone washes. The minhag in my house growing up was that only the Baal HaSeder washed. I changed my minhag. I don't think it's so correct. Everyone is supposed, I don't know what everybody does, I'm not doing a poll right now, but everyone is supposed to wash. Sometimes the Baal HaSeder stays in the seat, water is brought to him to wash, everybody else washes. Why do we wash? Because a davar shetibulu b'mashke, something that you dip into liquids, you have to make a bracha on it. Now the thing is, that there's a chumra all year round to maybe do this, to always wash your hands before you drink, before you eat something that's dipped into water. A lot of people are not knowing this way. The Gra even held that you made a bracha during the year on that Netilas Yadayim. So what are we doing it tonight? If it's not something that we're machmir for in general, so why are we doing it tonight? Because tonight we are nobility. Tonight we are all Tamidei Chachamim. Tonight we are all special. This is from Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Cook, who said this very, very beautifully, that we are all nobility tonight, and that's why we are doing things in the Chumras that we don't normally do. Another nice vort, we have Kadesh before Orchatz. Kadesh means Kedusha, jumping into Kedusha. Orchatz means washing yourself before you get into Kedusha. Tonight, the order is reversed. You don't wash yourself and prepare yourself for the Kedusha. You can jump right into the Kedusha. That's a symbol for the entire evening. One can jump right into the Kedusha. One can jump steps tonight. One can be Pesach. One can be Poseach. One can pass over different dargos. Normally, in Avodas Hashem, throughout the year, darga, step by step. But on the night of the Seder, one can make leaps and bounds. Okay. Karpas. 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 What do we do during Karpas? We have less than a kezayis, and we make a bracha rishona, borei priya adama. We have kavana that borei priya adama, even though it's going to be a long wait, we're going to have kavana that this borei priya adama is going to also be for the maror that's later. That's why we take a vegetable. You're allowed to use any vegetable that you want. I thought it was somebody, I don't remember who does this, but there are people who use bananas. Bananas. It's very, very cute. It's cute. It's not minhag, but it's very, very cute. To do that, in order to show, you know, that it's only for the Borei Pri Adama, you should have Kavana at the time, halachic in Yana now, you should have Kavana at the time that the Borei Pri Adama is going to work even if you leave the room. when you leave the room and you come back, so that it's not a hefsek. Everyone makes the bracha of Bori Pri Adama. You don't have kavana for the Baal HaSeder. Everyone makes this bracha of Bori Pri Adama. Now the question is, why do we do the karpas? Why do we do the karpas? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, by the way, and some of this entire shir right now is based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's influence, because there is something that came out in one of the svarim after, I think, Rav Shlomo Zalman was nifter, and he has, it was about six pages over here, called Pirkei Hadracha L'Leil HaSeder. These are special tips for the Leil HaSeder. And he has great varts here and different inyanim here. I'm including all the things that are here that are also important, as well as some other things. But this is also from Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had a ara. He says, why do we have karpas? So no, what's the famous answer why we have karpas? In order so that the kids will ask questions. All right, so the kid's going to say, no, Abba, why do we eat karpas? Why are we eating karpas? It's in order so that you'll ask. All right, I'm asking. Well, I only did it so that you'll ask. That's obviously comical. That's obviously, that cannot be the reason. So Rav Shlomo Zalman just said pshat. And this is what we're trying to do now, trying to get pshat. The idea is that this is an hors d'oeuvre. This is an appetizer. Derech Cheiros and Derech Melachim is to have appetizers. That's what this is about. And we only whet our appetite with a little bit. That's why we have even less than a kezayis. The thing is, we don't eat now. This is an appetizer, but it's a long time before the meal. Usually you don't have appetizers so long before the meal. So the Shemi Shmuel, Sagachavar, and the Sagachavar's son, the Shemi Shmuel, he writes, this was exactly like the Geula itself. The Geula itself, Moshe Rabbeinu came and spoke and said that we're going to leave. It turned out it took a while for us to leave. It took 6 hours for us to leave until we actually left Mitzrayim. So too here. We have a little bit of a taste right now. It's as if someone's telling us about the Geula, but we're only going to feel the Geula much later on. So it's a very, very beautiful simen. There's another beautiful simen about karpas, and that's the dipping of the karpas into the salt water. That is the Tvila Rishona of the evening, and that relates to the Rav Matisyahu Salman Vort that we just saw that we'll talk about later. Yachatz. Kadesh Urchatz. Karpas Yachatz. Yachatz. So what you have is three matzos. You have three matzos. You take the middle. This has to stay up here. You take the middle. You take the middle matzah and you break it. You break it into two. The smaller piece goes back, and the bigger piece goes into the afikomen and goes into the afikomen bag. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Very simply, matzah is called lechem oni. The Gemara has a drasha, ma darko shel ani beprusa, matzah also shel prusa. No, that's it. Lechem oni, darko shel ani beprusa, so to us, our derech should also be beprusa. In other words, you're supposed to cut pieces in half. What an ani does is that when he finds a big pita, what he takes is a little bite right now, he takes a little piece for now, and then the bigger piece he saves for later, because who knows what's going to be later. That is the reason why we have the whole idea of the afikomen, of breaking the matzah into two. What it does, though, is it highlights two different matzos here. There's the matzah that we're going to say to Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's going to be connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then there's the matzah later, the matzah in the future, which is much more connected to the halel and the nirtza at the end of the seder, the geula. There's one that's related much more to the avdus and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then there's the story of the geula too. Why is that? Because we're only going to bring the later piece, which is going to basically figuratively connect to the smaller piece that you had beforehand. In other words, you're only going to have the shlemus later on. That's a symbol for the geula ha'atida, that we're going to eventually reach the shlemus. That is b'shem the Chasam Sofer and the Balaturim. They say that that's the idea here, that the later matzah is for the shlemus. And Rav Shlomo has a beautiful vort, and he says that what the afikomen represents is that our world is broken. Right before we even start the whole mitzvah Sivan Tzitzayim, we break the matzah into two to show that the world is not shalom, the world is broken, the world requires a tikkun. And that the greater peace, the greater tikkun is only going to come later. And who's going to bring the afikomen later? who's going to bring the Afikomen back to the Seder later? The children. It's because that the Tikkun is going to come through the children. The Geula is going to smile on your face. It's the Tikkun, the Geula is only going to come through the children. Through the children. Okay. There are different minhagim about what you do for an Afikomen. I prefer very much, obviously you cannot say one word to your parents about changing minhagim bichlal, ever. But when you run a Seder, eventually at some point, then one can decide for themselves. I thought that the hiding the Afikomen was better than the stealing of the Afikomen. What the major problem was, stealing with the Afikomen, some posts can say, you're teaching them how to steal. That's not true. You're just teaching them how to steal tonight. You're not teaching them how to steal generally. I think every kid knows that Leil HaSeder is just a different thing. Maybe it's like Leil Shimurim. There's a certain Shmira that you don't even have to worry about certain Chinuch, I think. But another thing is, they're thinking and they're planning about how to steal it. And they're just not listening to the Maggid. They're just not involved in the market. They're always preoccupied with the stealing. And that's why we decided something else. And we decided with the meal, that during the meal, that they're going to go and find the Afikomen. And that's one of the reasons why we have multiple Afikomens. My father, myself, Nachshon, we all have different Afikomens, and we all hide those Afikomens. Okay. Magid. Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz Magid. Magid. Okay. It is important to have kavana on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kavana for the mitzvah. There are different minhagim about when to pour the cup, but generally speaking, you pour the cup now, you pour the second cup, and you uncover the matzos. Because lechem oni, second drasha right now, lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe. This is lechem, this is matzah that you're supposed to say over. You're supposed to say over the matzah. Sipur is supposed to be said over the matzah. And as we explained in the Lamda Shashir, that's either a vort, that's either an idea in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should involve all the props of the evening. So here the matzah is like the prop in order so that you can say over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim better. Or it's a din in the matzah. The matzah is not just a mitzvah that you ingest. It's a mitzvah that it has to do with emunah, and it's a mitzvah that it has to do with speaking and saying it over. Okay, some people lift up the ka'ara at this time. Some people point to the ka'ara and it says halach ma'anya, halach ma'anya. Now, what is halach ma'anya? If you take a look at the magid that I printed out for you, we're going to do now. We're on page one. Page one is usually where almost all parts of magid. I'll tell you how a seder usually works. Page one is the Vortlach page. That's Avadim Hayinu, the Maisa with the five Zakanim, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who woke up overnight and who woke up with a beard, the four sons, and then Vihishamda, all the way Vihishamda. Then if you just skip to page two, those are Pesukim. Everybody goes, and they run through that until, all right, guys, just get up to the Esher Makos. Meaning, go fast and get up to the Esher Makos. Okay, we'll meet up. In other words, everybody says, go ahead, say over. We'll meet up at the Esher Makos. That's page three. So page two got like a shout out basically during the Haggadah. Then we have page three, Esher Makos. That's when it's already active, right? You start taking with your pinky or with your finger. You start taking wine from the cup with the Esher Makos, Tam, Tzardeya. And then we run through the next three drashos. We sing Dayenu. We call page four. We call the women in for Rabbi Gamliel. We say some Hallel, and then it's time to wash. We make a barberry guffin, and then we have time to wash. This is how the Seder works, okay? What we're going to do now is we're going to go through the pshat on page one, but we're going to, and then I will show you why most Siddarim are doing it wrong. Most Siddarim are doing it wrong, and this is not something that we should live with. I don't mean you shouldn't live with it this year. This year you don't control anything. But eventually, it's up to you to change things. It's up to you to change things. We'll talk it out soon. Here we go. Halach ma'anya. Halach ma'anya, look at the words. Halach ma'anya, this is lechemoni, the achalo of a son of Arad Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Kol dechvin yesev yechol, whoever is hungry, come and eat. Kol dechvin yesev, whoever needs, come and do Korban Pesach with us. Hashata hachal l'shana haba b'arad Yisrael. Now we're here, hopefully l'shana haba b'arad Yisrael. Hashata avdei, now we're avadim l'shana haba b'nei Chorin. First thing that we do is kol dechvin yesev yechol. The first thing we do is invite people to our Seder. Why is that so central? It's very, very simple. This is Derech Eris. Derech Eris is to invite guests. An Eved does not have a house. an Eved does not control anything, and therefore he cannot have guests. And that's why the first thing that we do is we invite guests. And it's an order. It's very important to point out that right away we say we were also avadim. This is the lechem oni that we were aniim too. We were avadim too. We empathize with the aniim of today. An ani should not be embarrassed. We invite them. You should know we were there. We were there. We were aniim too. Okay. Why is it in Aramaic? Okay. This type of pshat question is where, if this question piqued your curiosity, you would look in one of these svarim, one of these haggadahs that we quoted, ki yishalcha bincha, to find all the different answers to this question. Another haggadah. I really apologize. I cannot believe that I forgot to mention this haggadah beforehand. Oh!
Hey, Yoni.
Woo! Ooh, it's down there.
I have a lecture. Don't worry about it. This is the Haggadah that is the Toras Chaim Haggadah. The Toras Chaim Haggadah is the Haggadah Mikros Gedolos of Rishonim. And throughout the Haggadah has beautiful pshatim of Miuchas Larashi, the Rid, Shibale Haleket, the Rashbeitz, I and the Ritva. I am partial to the Shibale Haleket. I really like the Shibale Haleket. One of the things when I was learning pshat and Haggadah, I used this Haggadah. I learned a lot of Varlach already. I read so many different Haggadahs and all the different Varlach. And I was a little bit, I don't know, either burnt out by the Vortlach, or it was already time to like run a Seder myself. And running a Seder is not about why those five Zekanim were in Bnei Brak. That's just not what the Seder is all about. The Seder is about Mitzrayim and Shiva Mitzrayim. So I went through a Rishon. The Shibale Haleket is one of the later Rishonim on Haggadah. And that's why he quoted other Shitos also. So I figured like he's like a Rishon, like the Ran, who collects other Rishonim, who also quotes other Rishonim as well. I like the Shibale Haleket. I went through the Shibale Haleket. Right, so for Vortlach, you can learn your own Vartlach, you can listen to the Haggadah Marathon. When you want to learn Pshat Haggadah, part of it is what we're doing this evening, and also you can start, just pick one Rishon, and go through the Haggadah with one Rishon, and learn the Haggadah with one Rishon. This is called learning the Haggadah. All the other things are not really learning the Haggadah. This is called learning the Haggadah. You can actually read the Maggid, and then see what Rishonim ask on this. The Rishonim deal with a lot of these Pshat questions. Why is Halacha Anya in Aramaic? The easiest answer, the best answer, pshat answer, is that this halach ma'anya was inserted into the Seder, into the Maggid, after the Churban Bayis Sheni. After Churban Bayis Sheni, where there was, or maybe Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, I think, and they were already speaking, they were speaking Aramaic, they weren't speaking Hebrew. And that is why we have a language that's extremely strange in the halach ma'anya. We have Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yisach. Whoever wants to come should join us for Korban Pesach. That means there's still Korban Pesach. And we also say, L'shana haba ba'ara d'Yisrael, L'shana haba, we should be in Yerushalayim. What are they talking about? It must be that this was one of the things that they used to, this is the way they used to invite people to the Seder. By the way, you can't even invite people at the Seder already, you have to invite people way before the Seder. You need minui for a Korban Pesach. But we invite people beforehand. And they would say called it Tzichyesev Yisach, and then they would add it in. You know, now that we don't have the Korban Pesach anymore, they still kept in that language, but they still inserted L'shana Haba Ba'ara D'Yisrael, and that's why it is Aramaic. And one of the vorts in the Haggadah Marathon, I mentioned how there's double language throughout the Halach Ma'anya. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever needs, come and be poseich. L'shana Haba Ba'ara D'Yisrael, L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Rav Zalman Sarutskin said that there were two types of poverty in Egypt for us. There was a poverty in physical possessions, and there was poverty with das, with culture, and in ruach. We came out with Rosh Chodesh Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim for us, and we also, not only did we have physical rechush, but we also had tremendous emunah. That's why we say the double lachshon. Kol dichvin yesev yechol. That means whoever is hungry, starving, should come and eat. Whoever is ditzrich, whoever is needy, meaning needing ruchnius, yesev yisach, he should come and have the korban pesach. Also, l'shana haba be'arad yisrael, we should be in Eretz Yisrael where there will be prosperity, and also l'shana haba b'nei charin, we should then have chirut ruchanit, we should be able to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu properly. That's halach ma'anya. Next, manishtana. There are four questions here. Why is it so important to have manishtana in the Seder? Very, very simple. There are no questions for avadim. Slaves cannot ask questions. Slaves have to do as they're told. It is important to ask questions. We actually require, we actually demand from from our children to ask questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us to ask questions. There's a beautiful vort in the Minchas Asher Haggadah, in the first page of the Sefer, the difference, the connection between Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaTorah, which is Paraduma. One chok, Paraduma, don't ask questions. In other words, just eat it. There's no reason for it, right? Amarti, we don't understand it. And then it's Chukas HaPesach, and that chok, we're supposed to be all over. We're supposed to ask a million questions about that. In other words, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to just accept things, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to delve deeply. To delve deeply requires questions. Requires questions. Questions are a very, very important part of the evening. The children are the ones who sing this question, but everyone is supposed to say Manishtana. It's part of the Haggadah. So therefore, even though the little kid is up there, the person should say Manishtana as well. What is the question of Manishtana? What are the questions here? So it could be that this is really only one question. The four questions are really one. The four questions are, I don't understand what we're doing this evening. Are we Avadim or are we Bnei Chorin? Do we symbolize Cherus or do we symbolize Avdus? What exactly are we doing tonight? Okay. In other words, the question is the contradiction. Are we Avadim? In other words, we eat matzah, maybe it sounds like, as opposed to chametz, that's Avdus. We eat maror, Avdus. But we do Haseba, and we do Tevila, which are Derech Cheres. Are we doing Avdus, or are we doing Cheres tonight? What is the answer to this question? Avadim hayinu lefar b'mitzayim, v'yotzeinu Hashem elkinu misham yatzachav zanakiyah. Avadim hayinu, that explains everything. We were Avadim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. We'll have something a little bit more deep, a little bit later on. If that's not the question, if that's not just like one giant question, why are we doing this? The contradiction? But we're really asking on all of these inyanim, all of these details, meaning, why is this night so special that we have these four anomalies? Why do we have the matzah anomaly? Why do we have the mara anomaly? And why do we have the tefillah anomaly? And why do we have the seva anomaly? So then we need to answer these questions. Oops. There's no answer to these questions in the Haggadah. So what are you supposed to do? So what does everyone do? We just read the Haggadah and we leave it. How can you do that? We finally had the kids stand up and ask the questions, and we're not going to answer him? Why do we eat matzah? That we will answer. That's in Rabbi Gamliel. Why do we eat maror? Question number two. Oh, that's also in Rabbi Gamliel. Why do we do, what's question number three? Why do we dip twice? That's not in, and why do we do Haseba? Is it out of order?
No.
Why do we do tefillah twice? That's question number three. And then Haseba is question four. Why do we do those things? Hey, it doesn't say. So you have to answer these questions. This is one of the things that Rosh Shlomo Zalman, when he talked about the Pirkei Hadracha, the Lulah HaSeder, he just says, you should just know. It's important to answer this question. You have to know. Why do we dip twice? So the answer is very, very simple. We dip twice because that Derech Eretz dipping is a sign of nobility. Also, a dip. A dip is always something very, very special. I know I'm not a fan of guacamole and avocado dips and all these types of things, but my wife loves them. My wife gets a shout out right now, and the dipping is something when it's very, very fancy. So it's a fancier meal, it's a fancier setting when you do the dipping. What about Haseba? So what is the idea of Haseba? So this is something that's on the Haggadah Marathon, but I have to at least demonstrate. Let me tell you what Haseba is. Okay, let me tell you what Haseba is. Haseba brings me back to the days in Yeshiva Flatbush. Why does Haseba bring you back to these days? So this is what Haseba, what people normally do for Haseba is they go like this. And they drink. That's not Haseba. That is not proper Haseba. Even if there's an arm here and they go, and they lean a little bit like this, that's not Haseba. I'll tell you what Haseba is. I'm not going to tell you what Haseba is, but I'll tell you what prompted me, what really got me to Haseba. This is what... Rabbi! So this is Haseba. Why is this Haseba? What is Haseba? Haseba is an act of defiance. Haseba is an act of tremendous chutzpah. You sit like that. You would sit like that in front of somebody respectable. You're like, hey, Rabbi! You know, like, that's something, it's chutzpah. This is the only way, the Rav said this, by the way, this is the only way to understand the following halacha. A Talmud does not do Haseba in front of his Rebbe. That's halacha. Talmud doesn't do Haseba in front of his Rebbe. Why not? Chayrus? You're not going to do Chayrus? Are you dipping tonight in front of your Rebbe? You are. So you can't lean in front of your Rebbe? No, because leaning, you got to understand what leaning is. Leaning is like lying down or reclining. It's an act of chutzpah. Because the shackles of avdus have been thrown off of you. That's what Hesed is all about. And that's why you really have to lean. Which is why a lot of people for Heseba at least, what they do is they turn their thing to the side, and they really lean. You have to lean your body, not just a little bit with the arm. You have to lean your body. You have to be leaning and reclining. Do not recline backwards. You're supposed to be reclining to your left. That's why you must recline to your left. You have to really be reclining to your left. It's not so easy to eat and drink this way. And that's why there's very little that we're doing of Heseba this evening. We're only doing it during the matzah and dalkosos and other things as we'll soon mention. Okay. Okay. That was my nishtana. So that's the answer.
The answer is
why do we do Heseba? Because we've thrown the shackles of avdus off, and now that we're free, we can now recline in an act of chutzpah. After Manishtana, we're up to now we're up to Avadi Mayinu. Avadi Mayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim Ve'otziyin Hashem L'kenim Hashem L'kenim L'Tziyah V'ilu Lo'otziyin Hashem Baruch Hu Esavosim B'Mitzrayim. We would still be Meshubah to Paro in Mitzrayim. And even Chachamim, Nebonim, Zekenim, everybody who knows the Torah, it's a mitzvah to Mitzrayim, it's Mitzrayim, V'chol Amar B'Zayim, Mitzrayim, Harezeh Meshubach. Now clearly, I think it's a tremendous gevura that we mention Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. We remember the past. We're willing to acknowledge the tough times that we experienced. And that's, I think, it's a tremendous gevura, and it's a mitzvah to mention it. It's a tremendous gevura that we have this. Another idea. Rav Zalman Sarutzkin again points out the double lashon. We were Avadim, and if we wouldn't have been taken out, we would still be Meshubad. What's Avadim and what's Meshubad? Avadim is slaves, physically. Meshubad means culturally, spiritually. The Paro bin Mitzrayim, because Paro was trying to make himself into a god, and therefore we would have been connected to Paro. So maybe we wouldn't have been slaves anymore, but we would still be indebted, we would still be culturally connected to Paro, and spiritually connected to Paro in Mitzrayim. Next, Kulanu Chachamim, no matter what, no matter which Chachamim we are, no matter how learned we are, it's a mitzvah tzav b'tzias Mitzrayim. I don't remember the exact... It's Avadim versus Meshubad. Avadim versus Meshubad. Avadim, how you were? We were Paro, and we would also be Meshubad to Paro in Mitzrayim as well. Kulanu Chachamim. Everyone has to say this story. Everyone has to say the story. It doesn't matter how learned you are. I don't remember who says this. I have it in my Haggadah. I don't remember whether I mentioned the Haggadah marathon. I think it is, but with regard to feeling something. With regard to emuna, with regard to trying to inculcate a feeling in you, there's no such thing as being such a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't matter how learned you are. You could be learned intellectually, you could be learned, you could be full of knowledge, but with regard to inyanam like emuna, we are still all ketanim. And that's why it's certainly a mitzvah tila saper. Kol amar b'harezim b'shubach, and that's why we quote the five zakenim who learned all night in order to point this out, that these Chachamim would be misafim tzion sinayim kol oso halayla. And the Rav said that they were together in order to delve deeply into Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there's a fascinating historical chiddush that I mentioned in the Haggadah Marathon, Ayin Sham. We're done with the five Zakenim? Yeah? Rav Dessler is the one who said that we're Tanim? Okay, great. Rav Dessler says that we are, with regard to Emuna and Chiyuve Hargasha, it's not wisdom. We are all considered Ketanim. Okay, we're up to Rav Lazim and Azariah now. Rav Lazim and Azariah were Kaven Shivim Shana, and then he woke up the next morning and he had this big beard on. And why is that? Either because in order so that he was appointed as a Nasi after Rav Gamliel so that they'll be mechabed him, so it was an ace that happened overnight. And the Rambam has a beautiful shita that says that through Yegiyas HaTorah, he looked like an old man. In other words, it was natural. It wasn't that he woke up the next night. It was from being a Yegiyas Yom HaLaila, he actually just looked old. Now, why are we mentioning this tonight, the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzharim at night? I think Alpi Pshuto, the Emek Racha, is very, very beautiful. What we're doing is we're trying to now highlight the distinction of Yetzias Mitzrayim now versus Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Onward. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. You'll see that we're running through page 1.
Yeah.
We are running through page one, because you're supposed to run through page one, as we'll soon talk.
Are we not going to run through the rest of
Baruch HaMakom, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. We now have a Birchas HaTorah, because we are now about to embark on a new type of Talmud Torah, a specialized Talmud Torah. It's the Talmud Torah of Sibur Tzion Yerushalayim. And when you have a specialized Talmud Torah, so you're supposed to make a Birchas HaTorah. And that's why you say, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Meisob, right? Baruch Shenasan Torah. We make a Birchas HaTorah. There's a tremendous godless that we're giving to, we're talking about Torah, that Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to four types of children. Such a beautiful Ha'ar B'Shem Reb Chaim. That the Torah is a text which can speak to all levels. In first grade, in cheder, in kindergarten, they're learning Torah, and also Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbanim, every grade, you're learning the same text of Chumash, the same text of Tanakh. That is an amazing godless. And nowhere in any other discipline in the world do we have a book that can relate to all these different types. Can I get Arba Banim? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shana San Torah. We give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach that He created a Torah that can speak Keneged Arba Banim, that it can even speak to four different types of sons. Very, very important Ta'ara. What it's important is also that a father, we obviously expect the father to be able to speak to all four types of sons. That means if the father will learn Torah, the father has to be able to speak to all four types of sons. Some fathers can only excel when their sons are like Talmidei Chachamim or budding Talmidei Chachamim when they're good. But when they're OTD and they're or on their way to OTD, so then off the derech, they're not so good. You have to be able to speak to all of them. With regard to a Chacham, you have to be able to speak to him about details of mitzvos and halacha and something that energizes him to Torah and good midos. For Russia, you have to excite him in order to change his ways. For the Tom, you have to tell him, based on his knowledge and based on what he can absorb, you have to tell him straight. And for the Eino Yodea Lishol, you tell him just very, very simply, all of our existence is in order to be Mekayim Mitzvos, and try to make it as simple as possible and try to engage him. Now let's go through the Arba Banim very, very quickly. What's important about the Arba Banim is that the story, as the Emek Bracha talked about, it has to be Derech Sipur La'acher and Derech Sheila V'Tshuva. You have to cater the story to the individual. That's why we mention the Arba Banim. So the Chacham. So obviously we all talk about how we're all of our children are Chachamim. All of our children are Chachamim. They ask a good question. And then we answer them, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. You're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, which translated nowadays would mean you're not allowed to eat after the Afikomen. You're not allowed to eat after the Seder is over. Why is that? She Sha'er Tam Pesach Befiv. That he should have the Tam of the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, still in his mouth. In other words, what we're doing tonight during the Leil HaSeder is something that you should remain with you. The taste of tonight should remain with you even after the Seder is over. You should be able to be mekabel certain inyanim tonight that you should be able to take with you. The Rasha says, Ma avadosos lachem. The Rasha is like a kofer. The Rasha says, why do we have to do this avoda? Why do we have to act on our Avodas Hashem? Why do we have to do Avodas Hashem b'maisa? Is it enough to be a Yehudi b'leiv? Is it enough, Rachmana libabai? We don't have to do mitzvahs of action. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what knows it, so why do we have to do actual mitzvahs? The Yerushalmi says it's beferish. We don't need actual mitzvahs. So what do we tell him? He would never be there. He would not receive geula. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two actual action mitzvos in order so that we could be roi to get the geula. He gave us Pesach, Korban Pesach, and Bris Milah. So you know what the Rasha would have said at the time. What do we need to do these actions for? Is it enough to be the heart? So he wouldn't have been roi for geula. And that's why he would have been left in Mitzrayim. Now what do we do with the Rasha? Very, very strange Rasha. Hakeyas Shinav. So what do we do? So I like some of the Ramazim because the Rasha is very, very fun. So the gematria of Russia is the only gematria, I think, that we're stating tonight. But the gematria is so awesome, it's beyond belief. A Russia minus Shinav. Now if you look at the word Shinav, go to the Russia. The word Shinav is spelled in the Haggadah, Shin Nun Yud Vav. A lot of people sometimes spell it Shin Yud Nun Yud Vav. But there's no Yud there, so that the numbers are exact. The Russia, if you knock out his teeth, he's a tzaddik. Russia, I'm telling you, it works. Russia minus Shinav is a tzaddik. As soon as you knock out his teeth, all of a sudden he's a tzaddik. That gematria is just too good. Another remez for the Rasha is that the Rasha is really in the middle of the Rasha is a shin. Rasha, Rei Shin Ayin. The shin is in the middle. The shin has these three lines with the yesod. That's the yesod of the Shosha Avos. Meaning, the Rasha is really a tzaddik in the middle. He's really a tzaddik in the middle. But what's surrounding the Rasha? What's surrounding the tzaddik in the middle? Reish Ayin, the Ra. Hakei Ashinav, take the shin away from the Ra. If you just hit the shin away from the Ra, so then the shin, then the tzaddik who's in the middle there will emerge. I love these. Couple of Ramazim. I'm sorry. Maybe it's my Yetzirah getting the best of me. Anyway, what is the pshat of Hakei Ashinav? The pshat of Hakei Ashinav does not mean hit your Russia son. We do not resort to violence, and we also do not believe that it's going to have a good effect. The word Hakei means to dull. Shinav are his sharp teeth. He's basically growling at the Seder, and like with his very sharp words, he's trying to like say something very, very sharp against the Seder. And what we need to do is dull the sharpness of his voice and dull the sharpness of his teeth. Okay, continue. Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. After we say the Tam and we tell him simply, and the Shinei Lelisho, we say it also very, very simply. Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. When is the Zman of this mitzvah? Should we already start the story from Rosh Chodesh? Bayom Ahu, Mibod Yom? No, Baburze, it has to be when Matzah and Marah are in front of you. What's the Havamina that we should start telling the story from the time of Rosh Chodesh? What happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? It's very easy. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when we received our first mitzvah, HaChodesh HaZelechem. That was already the beginning of the Gula. The beginning of the Gula was already on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because part of our Cheres and part of the Gula was in order so that we could receive mitzvos. This was the first mitzvah that we received. The Gula began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Then there's a Havamina that says, Yachol Mibod Yom? Maybe on Erev Pesach we should already tell the story. What happened on Erev Pesach? Here another thing. We shechted the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. The shechting of the Korban Pesach was the god of the Egyptians. And we did it in front of the Egyptians. And they didn't say anything. That's also a part of the Cherus. That they were unwilling to do anything, that they were unable to do anything, shows the Nisim and the Flows and the Hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing us, that was also part of the Cherus. In other words, a Maisa that an Eved does, like this, where he shechts the god of the master, Ein Lecha Cherus Gadol Mizeh. That's also, you can already, how can you say that you're really a slave if you can do such an in-your-face action in front of your master? Then you're obviously not an Eved anymore. Could be, but then this is a different, this the machlokas about whether it's 2 weeks or 1 month. So I don't think it's just in the Shloshim Yom Kodem Chag. Yes, according to that Shita, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Arzei HaLevanon, I'm just now recalling, there's a sefer called Arzei HaLevanon. They even put this Haggadah out in English. These aren't Divrei Torah and Haggadah whatsoever. They're Divrei Torah that came out from everywhere and just like were put onto the Haggadah. Rav Moshe asks that question. He goes, Ha-Nicha, this Havin is Ha-Nicha L'Mado Mor Rashvad, who says that it's only 2 weeks before Beis Hamikdash. What about the Mando Amu? What's the Havin to say on the Rosh Chodesh? It doesn't sound like it's connected. It's much more, it's better to say the shot, like what I just said. What
was the answer?
I don't remember. Maybe this. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, okay. Next. That's the timing of the mitzvah. It's got to be the timing of the mitzvahs. Matzah and Marah are in front of you. Now, mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah. There's a machlokas in the Gemara about, everybody agrees that you're supposed to start the story with the gnus. The question is, what's the gnus? So one shita, there's machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. One shita says that you should start from avodah mayino, and one shita says you should start further back, which is mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. We were ovdei avodah zarah from the times of Terach and earlier than that, and only later on did we come to have emunah and monotheism. So when should we start the gnus? It's machlokas. So we try to do both. So we start with avodah mayino. We also start mitchila. The question is, but now we're all out of order. We start with avodah mayino, and then we go backwards in time. When are we really starting? So the truth is that if we would have done it, this is just a pshat answer, not for the seder really. But if we would have done it in reverse, if we would have started mitchila and then do avodim, we wouldn't be doing both shitas. That would be just chronologically doing the shita of mitchila. You're not doing avodah mayino. So we start with avodah mayino, and then we also do mitchila of avodah zarah yu avoseinu, which is the other shita. But there's a much more profound understanding of this. And that I heard B'Shem Mari Virabi, Rosenzweig Shlita, who said that this is the way memory works. You know how when you're remembering something, you remember an action, and then you go, yeah, you remember that? And then someone goes, yeah, you remember the thing that happened right before that? And right before that? And then you do more background, and more background, and more background? That's exactly what we're doing. Because on a night like tonight, where we're trying to remember, we start with, Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. You know what? How did we even get to Egypt? It's because Bris Ben Avosanu. Then we start going backwards. And we say, that's the way the mind works. The mind conjures up the memories in that fashion for the more short-term memory until we get to the actual long-term memory. It's extremely important to start with the Gnos. Like we mentioned in the beginning of Magid Avadim Hayinu, it's important that we start with the Tzaros. We acknowledge the Tzaros. You must remember the past. There's a great quote from a great thinker and philosopher. His name is George Santayana. George Santayana, who lived until the 1950s, and he has a famous line that is his most famous line that he ever coined was, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." It's important. It's important to remember the past. I do mention this. I don't mention his name so much, but I do mention this line during the Seder. It's very, very important. We acknowledge the past. It means that we have gevura that we can acknowledge the past. But even more important, if we don't remember the past, if we don't remember the Torah that we had, you know what? If we don't remember the Holocaust, we don't remember what Goyim can do to us, if we don't remember how other nations can stand by while a Holocaust happens, so if you don't remember that, then something like that could happen. Again, that's something that needs a reminder. Only connecting to your past do you have a more solid future. Okay, mitzkilo devar azar yuvasenu. Now, there are those who say, but I don't know if this is necessarily pshat, but this is important to know. Avadim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim sounds like slaves. Mitzkilo devar azar yuvasenu sounds like much more about emuna. So could it be that it's a machlokes about what we're really trying to highlight? Are we really trying to highlight in the fact that we're free men, that we're not slaves anymore, physical? Or are we highlighting the spiritual? But to say that that's just a machlokas between the two deyas, and we're not supposed to focus on both, it's whatever. It's not really pshat. Anyway, that's mitzchilo de razor yovosenu. Now, what do we mention? I'll just mention a quick ha'arab b'pshat also. Who's avosenu? Who's avosenu? Mitzchilo of deyal v'dazar hayu avosenu. Who is it? Terach, that's one. Can we even call Terach our Avosenu, our Avos? He's one of our Avos? So this lends credibility. It is definitely a raya to the Shita of the Rambam, who says that Avraham dabbled in Avodah Zarah and then came to the realization that there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the Avosenu being mentioned here is Avraham Avinu, maybe even with Terach. Even with Terach. Maybe Terach. Terach did tshuva at the end of his life, according to some. Anyway, mitchila avodah zarah yu avosenu, and then we mentioned these psukim that are in Yehoshua, all about this, about how we eventually went down to Mitzrayim. At the end of that piece, the Yaakov uvana of Yardu Mitzrayim. We go on. Baruch shomer hatachasol Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise him for keeping his promises to Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishiv hazaket. He said it was time for us to go out. Bris ben Abisarim. And then we went out Baruch Gadol, and we were supposed to go out Baruch Gadol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us. So you should just know what Baruch Gadol means. The Al Sheikh, as well as the Ksav Kabbalah say Baruch Gadol. Baruch Rav would have meant a lot of stuff. Baruch Gadol means great Baruch. Great Baruch is not only physical. It's not only physical Baruch. We left with Mitzrayim with tremendous spiritual rechush. We had a lot of kinyane ruach. We had a lot of spiritual leaps and bounds that Klal Yisrael made. Now, a question that needs to be asked, that should be asked, and we're not going to even answer it. There's a question that has to be asked is, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for keeping promises? But even moreover, much better question. The whole evening is about, thank you, Hashem, for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Wait, how did we get to Mitzrayim? Because you told us in Bris Ben Avosanu that we're going to be Avadim. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Avdus, that He Himself destined that we have to go through? Thank you. Thank you for putting us at the Avadim, and thank you for Bnei Chorin. Maybe we will answer the question, but we may answer the question later. But it's at this time. Who? What?
Rivlef.
Did you speak about it here?
Yeah.
That we're still Avadim. I'm going to call Rivlef. Absolutely, that it was necessary to become Avadim.
Yeah.
It was in order so there will be Avadim Adi Hashem later on. And that's why the night is full of... Anyway, let's go on. I'm sorry. Yes, I know the Rivlef. Anyway, we'll talk.